Hello and welcome to this episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. Today we're looking at commissioners' expenses. Do you know how much local authority members claim? And should they take allowances for attending meetings? Some do and some don't. We hear why. Commuters are fed up with the TT access road, but when a change is likely to be made. And residents by Ballacameen School fear traffic calming measures could lead to further congestion. Should members of the island's 22 local authorities claim for attending meetings or do the role for free? The public representatives don't receive a salary but can claim £7.50 an hour for an evening meeting and £12.50 for a daytime session. Claims vary across authorities, with Douglas Council forking out more than £42,000 for its 18 members, whilst many smaller rural boards pay nothing. Some see allowances as compensation for the time and effort they put into the role. Others don't claim and see it as a public service. Leader of Douglas Council, David Christian, who claimed more than £5,000 last year, explained the demands of the role to me.
It is £12.50 per hour. So lots of meetings, once you go over a set period, the maximum you can get is £50 for a meeting. So if you look at it, £50 a meeting, that's 120 meetings a year. Now, quite often, the likes of myself, because I meet with officers on a very regular basis, can exceed that. There's been some years I've well exceeded that sort of amount. So you can have several months where you've actually run out of any attendance allowance that you can claim. So members can claim for committee meetings, council meetings, outside bodies that they're on. So they may have to travel to the Municipal Association, for example. So all local authority members can claim for that sum of money.
And some might say £5,000 roughly changes every year, I suppose, for the leader of the council, a budget of £30 million. It might even seem quite small to some.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. You get some people out there that'll turn around and say a local authority member should do it for the love of their community. Those days have long gone, I'm afraid. If you want people to actually give their time up, take time off work, and we've had councillors come in. I'm lucky, I'm self-employed. I've been self-employed for over 30 years. But we've had councillors that have come in and have really struggled to get time off from their employer, that they've had to use all up their holiday entitlement to come to council meetings. And some have had to resign because of that, because of family pressures. So, you know, it's ridiculous to say people should just do it for the love of it. Local authorities in the island are different. The town authorities are different to the smaller parish authorities. Quite often they just meet in the evening. All our meetings are during the day because of the level of officers that we need to come in. And as you've just indicated, £30 million between revenue and capital budgets. It's no mean feast looking at them. Now, we could just shirk our responsibilities and pass it over to officers, but as politicians, we're elected to make decisions. We have to be actively involved, and it's only right that we should be compensated for that. I've got to be honest, being self-employed, it goes nowhere near meeting the amount of money I could earn if I was actually at work and rather than sitting at a desk talking council business.
Deputy Chairman of Ramsey Commissioners Luke Parker doesn't claim anything, like the Chairman of Peel Commissioners Alan Jones. Both told me why.
One of the main reasons initially I didn't claim, first off, I didn't know there was any money at all, to be honest. So it wasn't initially at my thinking of, oh, there's money available, let's claim it. So for the first year at least, I wasn't fully aware of it for at least the first couple of months until forms got dished out. And I was like, well, do you know what? I wasn't expecting to claim, so I won't claim for at least the first year. And it's more, I think, for me, as I've grown up with volunteering, youth work and other committees and organisations, Chamber of Commerce, they're all voluntary roles. And I've never asked for any type of payment. And this is what I see this is, as being a commissioner, the same sort of concept. I'm trying to benefit the town. I'm trying to give what I can back to it. But I don't want anything back in return, whether it's like financially or anything.
So do you think commissioners should, in that vein, be more like volunteers?
No, I guess it's a little bit of a difficult question. Some commissioners dedicate more time than others, depending on roles and meetings and things. For those who work and they having to leave their work to go to meetings, I think that's right, that there should be at least something that they could claim to top up if they're having to sacrifice their salary to come to meetings to provide a public service. In my case, I don't choose to do that, and it's a personal thing. For those who do claim, no issue with them claiming. And I do see that there should be some element to funds for those giving up their time. But I guess it's a personal choice. And for those who probably use it as just sort of there's money there, I wouldn't say it's not wrong, but I would also question motives a little bit sometimes. But it's, again, it's a personal choice for every member.
Do you feel that if there perhaps was more money involved in being a commissioner, that would perhaps be an incentive to a different section of society? Because at the moment, obviously, if you're perhaps a working person, someone with a family, coming to commissioners' meetings and preparing properly for them can be time-consuming, and there can be a cost to that.
Yeah, very much so. So obviously, just for preparing for a board meeting, we get our board packs. That takes at least half a day to go through it, and then if there's any questions, then it's going to be more time. So just preparing just for one meeting could actually take up a day to 2 days worth of work. So having sort of funds available definitely does help. I would say that obviously not to just say that there's funds available, just, you know, here's loads of money that's available. I think that's also wrong, because it will probably entice people for the wrong reasons a little bit. But I think if it's capped and it's managed well, and that time is accurately calculated for what members are spending their time on, I think it's very, very much deserved.
My name is Alan Jones, and I'm chairman of the Peel Town Commissioners. It's a personal decision. I think that mainly because a lot of people I do know within the community offer their services for free in organisations like Scouts, the theatre we have in Peel, and so many other things. And I think that if they're willing to do it for nothing, I can do the same. But it's not a... it's not something where I feel that that should apply to everybody.
And do you feel that local government members represent good value for the ratepayer compared to maybe perhaps the taxpayer with national politicians, albeit it's a very different role?
It is a different role and a different... I mean, one of the reasons I'm not very much in favour of us having super authorities is that you would end up having to pay extra allowances or fees, I think, to those who elected to them. I meet a lot of my colleagues on local authorities, and I'm very pleased to see how much hard work they devote for very little. And I think there's a need for that. Now, I'd just like to point out that I don't have any strong views about people who do claim allowances. I think that's entirely up to them, or what level the allowances each authority will do. I think that's for them to decide on according to their remits.
A commissioner says commuters are annoyed and frustrated with congestion along the TT Access Road. Andrew Jessop, the chairman of Braddon Parish Commissioners, says ratepayers have complained of losing an hour of their lives being stuck in traffic there. The Department of Infrastructure has promised to replace the current route with a two-way carriageway by 2022. Well, Mr. Jessop's authority has held talks with the department over the prospect of a new route and is eager to see something done sooner rather than later. He told me what the lay of the land was so far.
My understanding is that it's still being looked at by the department. So we saw some initial sort of sketch plans and proposals for a new access road that was going to come at quite a cost. But since that date, my understanding is it hasn't progressed that much further, other than the minister, I believe, has sort of made some sort of commitment to try and have something in place by 2022.
Is that quick enough for what people want? Because we just get regular reports during, you know, this week, Festival of Motorcycle, of people being backed up miles down the road and just fed up with how it's working, or not working as the case may be.
Well, that's certainly the case, and only in the last couple of days I've had people saying to me that they're going to be spending at least an hour stuck in traffic trying to get through the access road to attend an appointment to either doctor's, hospital, whatever, and that's an hour of their life they never get back again. So yes, there is still a high level of frustration and an annoyance about it.
Well, do you think 2022 is too far away and we need to be treating this a bit more urgently? I mean, the East could be growing considerably. I mean, just look at the area plan. So is there an onus on the department to really crack on?
Well, obviously, the sooner rather than later would be good, but many people would probably say that 3 years from now is actually remarkably quick for the TOI. Yes, these things take time to actually plan up, find the optimum route, and then get it through planning and all the rest of it. So, yeah, I think we'd all like it, something done sooner to improve the situation, but 2022 is probably not bad timing in terms of the grand scheme of things.
So can Braddon commissioners do anything? What's your role with this?
Well, we obviously just, all we can do is actually try and encourage DOI to make improvements wherever possible and to explore all the various options to make sure that at the end of the planning and the building stage that we get something that works and works effectively and is at, you know, a cost-effective price.
What are the fixes to the road that you see, the simple fixes that would work to make it effective? I mean, there's talk of a two-way carriageway. What are the things you'd like to see to make that work?
Well, we obviously feel the same as, you know, I'm sure the DOI agree as well, that you need a wide enough roadway that enables two vehicles and preferably two lorries, buses or whatever as well to pass during those periods when the main road is closed because of racing or other activities on the TT course. So, yeah, it's got to be right, but it also has the potential to improve access to other parts of the valley along the Peel Road. You know, we've been looking at trying to improve access across the river there anyway, so people can get up to Grenier Park better and also potentially address some of the other issues in terms of traffic going up the Braddon Road and also on the Strang Road.
Do you think the impact on business in the area of Braddon, particularly with the road closures, needs to be looked at with relation to this road and giving them a proper outlet? Because, I mean, it's a standstill for many of them when the course is shut.
Well, it is. And, you know, I know it's rather controversial, but I have been in discussions with the DOI based on suggestions made to me that maybe the route of the TT course should be changed. But then that would require a certain amount of infrastructure work as well to make that happen. But then that would enable the main road to continue in use, which means that there would be access to Snugborough housing, Snugborough trading estate, etc., all the year round.
So just out of interest, to entertain that concept, would that be cutting across out of to stop the route going down past Quarterbridge, or what do you have in mind there?
Well, the course would continue around Quarterbridge, and then it would basically go through where the wall is on the left-hand side onto the Heritage Trail before Braddon Bridge. It would then run along the old railway line itself through to Union Mills Station, and then up effectively a new ramp coming out back onto the TT course, the west side of the bridge at Union Mills.
We talked about this coming in 2022 and how you think that's actually good going for the government. But for those who, and I know you're a fan of the motorbiking, but for those who aren't keen on it for whatever reason, for the delays, do you think the least that can be done is a serviceable access road so the disruption is kept to a minimum?
Well, I think that it's got to be done because, you know, as we've already pointed out, the number of properties on the inside of the course has been growing. There are proposals for quite a large number of additional properties in the Eastern Area Plan, most of which the commissioners are obviously in opposition about. And certainly, if any are included in the new Eastern Plan, then it should be taken into consideration that there will not be a decent access road until at least 2022. So perhaps no development should take place before 2022. We want to try and find a solution that not only improves access for people, for residents, etc., visitors, whoever, businesses during that period, but also to try and maintain during that period a traffic-free route for people that want to cycle and walk along the existing Heritage Trail. You know, we're going to quite a bit of expense to actually improve that particular route to encourage active travel by people and encourage people to get out more on bicycles and foot rather than use the motor car. So yeah, it'd be a bit crazy for us to then actually say for, you know, 4, 6, 8 weeks of the year you can't use it.
Braddon Parish Commissioner's Chairman Andrew Jessop. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. Residents by Ballacamine High School have expressed alarm over traffic calming plans, which they say could lead to further congestion on busy streets in the area. It comes after a meeting held in July to discuss proposals for a one-way system through the school and the creation of a new access point on Westbourne Drive for cars leaving the site. It was requested by school leaders who said current traffic arrangements were jeopardising student safety. Residents complained they'd not been consulted, though, and felt the department had not considered the impact of what's being proposed. Douglas councillor Debbie Pitts was at the meeting. She told me the plans weren't easy to interpret.
Reading the application myself, I was a little bit confused. It's not quite clear I got the impression that it was going to be one way, a right away around the school and out Westbourne Drive. However, last night when we went to this meeting, the DOI cleared that up for us. That's not the case. It is literally just within the school grounds. So anybody now that has visited Ballacameen, you go through the Ballard. When that goes up, you go in. And you would be coming out then at the top gate, which is a very small gate up at the top of Westbourne Drive. There would be no vehicle access to go back out through the school. So there'd be no two-way traffic. It is quite a small area they've got there, but it does have a couple of cars width. But that's what the DOI explained to us last night.
So why that proposal? What's the problem with that area that requires that change?
From last night, we heard from the head teacher, Adrian Burnett, and she said that it is becoming more and more aware of the fact that the children are coming out of school, they're using their phones, they're not allowed to use their phones in school, so obviously once they get out, all the teachers park there. Apparently there's no on-school parking for sixth formers, so it is just staff. She has more staff than parking spaces that need to use their cars. So it is becoming difficult. Some of the cars are double parked. When they're coming out, then she has had a couple of near misses.
For student safety.
It was brought up at the meeting that, you know, the safety aspect, nobody's against that. Nobody wants to see anybody getting hurt. However, there must be a compromise here somewhere that it's not going to affect the residents, but it's also not going to affect the children outside of the school. We're not just talking about the planning application is just about the area of the school, not anything beyond that.
And do you think that's the problem for residents, is that they haven't considered the knock-on effects on what are very busy roads?
That's it. You know, Westbourne Drive was originally aimed to be a cul-de-sac. So you go up to the top where the gate is and you'd be able to turn around. Now the residents are having the problem where, you know, as times are, lots of people have got cars. The children that are going to school have got cars. It didn't happen in my day. You walked and you walked quite far away and your parents didn't drop you off and you didn't have a car to go to school at sixth form. Times have changed and here we are. The children are using cars, so they're parking in their areas. They're changing their clocks. It's been witnessed by residents. The children are coming out of that end. They're coming in that end. I don't know how they're going to fix this. I don't know what the compromise will be. But the residents don't feel like they've been approached. There's been nothing to them. Now, they don't have to as a planning, you know, application. They don't have to. But I think it's going to make the very small roads, the back lane from Westminster Terrace, Westminster Drive, Westbourne Drive, St Catherine's Drive and Hawarden Avenue, a very, very busy spot there, just by Harvey's shop, rather. That area there is chaos. Mm. Chaos, like...
So what are residents, what did they say about this? The people who live in those areas you've mentioned, what were they saying at this meeting?
They have very, very strong opinions about the fact that they haven't been consulted, the fact that the school are just taking in more and more numbers, which I know the school has to because of catchment area. It's a very densely populated area and it's only getting more so. There's a lot more houses there than there ever were before. There's a lot of young families there. And it's a lovely area for young families. However, it means there's more traffic and there's more pedestrian traffic. I don't feel from talking to the last night at the meeting that the DOI have actually taken that on board. What they've said is they've done traffic surveys with the wires, but there's been no visual traffic survey. There's been nobody up there watching on a good regular basis, and that's what the residents feel. They haven't been listened to. In the past, they've asked for speed bumps along St Catherine's Drive. They've asked for the home zone area. We're in a long, long waiting line up there for it, and it's going to come in 2 years. 2 years, are we going to see somebody very badly hurt or even worse, died up there before then? Mm. That's what the residents were upset about. The safety, and also that they haven't been consulted.
Now, as a councillor, you've got the residents' views. You've also got the school asking for this because of the amount of students, the parking, the safety, the teachers' spots. Where do you see a solution? Because I suppose you have to strike a balance and look for a middle ground.
A couple of things were thrown about, I suppose. One of my ideas would have been that down at the Bowl, we have a car park there that when Douglas Corporation had it, we did try to do park and ride. It was never taken up. What would be good would be maybe for the Department of Education to say, right, all the teachers can park down there, then let's make more room for the school. The school, unfortunately, I think they said 300 students more than they should have, and it's only getting bigger with the catchment area. So ultimately, yes, let's build a nice new school. Have we got time? Have we got money for that? No, we don't. Not right now. It's not going to solve the problem. I think the speed bumps, I think alternative parking. Apparently there's a new government car park gone in behind the old hospital site. There is just alternatives.
Do you think the DOI are willing and the school are willing to look at those alternatives, or do you think they're wedded to this plan?
I think definitely from the head teacher's point of view, she was very on board. She took in what was being said, but she's there to look after the safety of her pupils in her area. The DOI obviously have been asked to look at this and they've come up with a great solution. But nobody has thought about the residents and the children once they step outside of that education perimeter. Mm-hmm. So once they come out, whose responsibility is it? If the DOI are saying, well, there's not a problem, but the residents who live there, who are seeing it day to day, there is a problem. I think the school are very on board. I think when we talked about parking, I think Mrs. Burnett would listen to us and grab something that she was given. DOI, I'm not sure, because obviously we haven't asked them direct and there was only two of their representatives there last night.
So as councillors, what would you say to the residents? They've still got time to comment, have they? There's been a slight extension, I believe.
I believe there has been an extension to at least the middle of September. The closing date was tomorrow. We did say last night that if anybody wanted to, we would help them correlate a letter. Lots of people were saying that it's difficult, that people are away on holiday. It's been very quickly put into the domain. And if you're not used to it, getting access to planning is very difficult and how to actually respond to it. I think they've had 5 responses up to now, and Douglas Council has asked for us to be able to make comments, but that won't happen till Environmental Services meet, which is the 19th of September.
Douglas Councillor Debbie Pitts, the head teacher of Ballacamine, says the plans for a one-way system are needed to keep students safe. Adrienne Burnett insists allowing vehicles to leave via this new exit would allow traffic to filter out more evenly. I asked Mrs. Burnett to explain why she feels the road layout within the school had to change.
Our main driveway doesn't have any pavement, so students have to share the space with vehicles. They're travelling in 2 directions. If we had a one-way system in place, it would be much easier to encourage our students to be traffic aware. Vehicles would be restricted to a single lane, and we could create a pedestrianised walkway for the students, hopefully improving safety conditions for everyone. I mean, as you can imagine, at the end of a school day, our students are leaving school, busy chatting to friends or switching on mobiles that they haven't been able to use during the day. And creating this new system will keep our students safe.
Can you understand why residents are concerned about the knock-on impact of what you're proposing on the narrow streets where students often walk to school and often park their cars?
Absolutely. We all have to coexist. But at the moment, all cars have to leave via St. Catherine's Drive, and our neighbours there are having all the cars going past them. If we reinstated the driveway at the exit at the back of Swiss, which was in use until a few years ago, plus put the new one in at Westbourne Drive, it would dissipate vehicles leaving to 3 separate areas, and hopefully people wouldn't notice too big an inconvenience. There are only 100 cars on the school driveway. It'll be cars exiting, hopefully once a day. And teachers certainly don't leave on the bell. They're not allowed to. They have to leave after students. They have clubs and revision classes after school. So there's not going to be a huge number of teachers' cars. Obviously, other staff are on contracted hours, and there may be a few of those leaving. But the school can't have more than 100 vehicles on site at any one time. It just isn't the space.
Some have suggested that there are bigger issues at play here to do with the capacity at the school. Would you say that is the case?
It's true. Douglas has grown over the years. We've got more and more people moving into the area, and everyone keeps having children. Thank you very much. It keeps us teachers in jobs, but actually they have to be educated somewhere. The Department of Education is looking at catchment areas, but obviously when they tried to move the catchment area for Scotland Jubilee, that was inconvenient because our next closest school, the lower school site, is in Onken, which wouldn't be for convenient for people who live very close to Ballacamine, but they would have to be asked to move elsewhere, putting more cars on the road in an already congested area.
And some have suggested, I know the Douglas councillor I spoke to, Debbie Pitts, that perhaps there might be a third way here, maybe having a park and ride situation for the teachers.
Have you thought about things like that? Because I know active travel are even based at Ballacamine. So has there been consideration of something of that ilk?
Certainly it has. We're looking at we're getting bicycle racks in. I myself am going to be trying an electric bicycle because I have to lead by example. Our teachers travel from all over the island, though, and they've got lots of books and marking to do. But if we could find a site close to the school, I would certainly sell it to my staff, and I'm quite sure they would be very supportive as well.
You were obviously at this meeting that took place this week. What would your assessment of that be? I heard it was quite a feisty affair at times.
Feisty is a good word. I would say it's impassioned. And I understand our neighbours want to go home. They want to be able to park the cars outside their house. They want to be able to live peaceably. I fully understand that. All I want to do is to make sure that I can look after my students as well. And as long as we keep talking to each other, I'm sure we'll find a solution.
Adrienne Burnett, the head teacher of Ballacamine High School. It's understood the deadline for responses to the application has been extended at the request of Douglas Council. We'll now go up to the 20th of September. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this episode online as a podcast or via Spotify. But for now, gurumayu and goodbye.